Scripture lesson today comes from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5. And truthfully, I wanted the last five words. But the reality was, verse 5 just kept bouncing back in my head every time. And it just seemed like we needed to hear this all over again. For he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. Catch that? He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today we're starting a three-part series called Living by Faith. And today is actually looking at living in relationship. Now, growing up, Richard and I were best friends. In fact, we did everything together. I mean, we lived in maybe the second, third, or fourth houses that were built in a brand new planned housing community. It was absolutely wonderful because we could explore everything. I mean, there was a river that ran by one house over. There were 100+ home sites that would, over the years, have brand new homes being built. And just think what two kids can do as we explored all of those brand new homes and those new home sites and the great fun that it was figuring out what in the world we had just climbed into. But you know, I don't even think that was the most fun, because the most fun was to explore the frontier. Did y'all have a frontier where you were growing up? The frontier was right behind this housing project. We had unexplored woods. And so you know what the frontier was? The frontier was anything beyond that first 30 yards into the forest where you knew that all kinds of things lived. I mean, they talked about monsters earlier, but we weren't only worried about monsters. We were worried about a snake that had legendary thoughts. It was a black racer. And it was going to be faster than anything that could ever come. And if you ever saw one, it was too late. By that time, you were already a goner. It already had you. But I remember that one eventful day. Somehow, Richard and I ended up in a fight. I mean, haymakers were thrown. Words were exchanged that could never, ever be taken back. I mean, folks had to come and literally just pull us apart. And Richard stomped off to his house, and I stomped off to my house, and we knew never again would we ever talk to each other. Irreparable damage had already occurred right there in those moments. And even time was not going to be able to heal the mortal wounds that we had inflicted upon each other. From that moment forward, life was going to be different. Thirty minutes later, we were playing ball behind Richard's house. You know, there's just something about living in a relationship with another person. And I think it's important that you and I think about those, because the Bible commands us to live by faith, not by sight. In fact, the Apostle Paul is exhorting the believers in Corinth to make sure that there's a distinction in their lives between the ways that they used to live and the way they live now. We live by faith, not by sight. So if we're trying to talk about living by faith, then I think you and I have to have a really good idea of, so what is faith? What does it mean to live by faith? Now, as soon as I say that question, what is faith, does your mind do exactly the same thing my mind does? I instantly jump to Hebrews 11. I don't think there's a way around it. And I love the way the Revised Standard Version puts it. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Don't you love that? The assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So what we're going to be talking about over these next 3 weeks is obviously living in the assurance of things hoped for. And I want us to break that into three parts, where today we're going to talk about living in the assurance of things hoped for by living in relationship. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about living in the assurance of things hoped for by living a very practical faith. And then the third, we're going to talk about living in the assurance of things hoped for by living in community. Well, I can't express any better than what you did just a minute ago about living in community. Oh, it's going to be fun. And it just so happens that's also the day we're having the picnic. So that somehow, you know, God has this wonderful sense of humor and a great idea of what's going on a whole lot better than I ever did or ever do. So let's start with what I think is probably the most important question I may ever ask you. And that is, how is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? Do you long for a close, intimate relationship with God Almighty? Has the busyness of a day gotten you so that you wish that you had more time to do, quote, godly things, end of quote? Do you wish that you had more time to pray? Do you wish that you had more time to read your Bible? Do you wish that you had more time just to get to church? Do you feel like, I think I've lost that closeness that once I had? Lord, why has it changed? Why is it different? Why don't I feel myself upon that mountaintop right now? I got to tell you, I grew up in a world that told me I could do anything and everything if I tried hard enough, if I worked at it long enough, if I was willing to concentrate the whole of my life and my thoughts upon that one single focus. You can do anything, John. Do you know something? I simply call that performance mentality. And I think I took it into church as well. If I do all the right stuff, and especially if I do all the right stuff for God, God's going to want me to be on his team. I'll get picked early as a draft pick and be on God's team. But you know something? It took me quite a while to understand that having a real intimate relationship with God, it's not about using all the right words. It's not even about having all of those spiritual techniques right there in my hip pocket that I can instantly pull out and use. It's not about twisting God's arm to make God do what I want God to do. It's not even about living a perfect life. It's about living with God like Jesus lives with God. Jesus demonstrated in his own life about having a relationship with God the Father. And he showed us that it was more than just about rules and regulations. It's more than just ritual. Luke 11. The disciples have been sent off two by two into all of the villages and the neighboring areas that Jesus is about to visit. And I got to tell you, things went fantastic. I mean, the disciples came back and says, "You won't believe this. Even the demons obeyed us." Everything was fantastic. Everything was wonderful. And then right at the first of Luke 11, it says that Jesus, having gone off into the hill, came back down, and when he did, the disciples asked him a very important question. They asked, "Teach us to pray." They recognized that it was something about that going off and being with that made him so different, that made his life powerful. And when we hear the words that Jesus spoke unto them in that prayer, what we hear is Jesus encouraging them to seek an intimacy with God the Father. I love that word, an intimacy. I hate to ask, do you ever catch yourself going up to somebody and the first thing that comes up is you start having the weather conversation? I heard the giggles. You know, I do it too. Why do we do the weather conversation? It's easy, and we may or may not know the greater details of what a person's life is. And I hate to say it because I'm guilty. At that point, we really don't want to know those intimate details. And so the weather's convenient. We're not talking about the weather conversation when we're talking about being intimate with God. We're talking about the very depths of who we are. We're talking about the questions that really matter in our lives. We're talking about the discussions that really make a difference in the way you and I live. It's even as millennials love to say, it's matters of honesty and authenticity. It's being real in life. And Jesus reminds us that we need to seek that intimacy with God the Father. In John 17, Jesus has been praying for his disciples. And the really neat part is, when he prays for his disciples, he's praying for his disciples past. He's praying for his disciples present. He's praying for his disciples in the future. And so you notice something? You and I got included right there. And his prayer for them is very simple, but it's very powerful. His prayer is that they may know God. That they may know God. Folks, that is of first importance, according to Jesus, that we may know God. And I'm not just talking about head knowledge. You know, that knowledge that says, oh yeah, I've heard about the God who created the universe. I'm not just talking about heart knowledge. That knowledge that says, wow, I so love it when the Spirit is here because I feel so good then. I am talking about that every day, spending time with Jesus, kind of that they may know God knowledge. That intimacy of relationship that shapes our lives so much that we realize that Christianity is not a spectator sport. God has chosen to get involved. And God has chosen to get us involved with Him, with His love, with His life, with His grace. God wants us involved intimately, day by day, moment by moment. As we hear in John 3:16, God wants that relationship. And what blows my mind is that He wants that close relationship with all of us. Now, which part of all don't we understand? All of us. Because God desires to talk to us, to spend time with us, to develop that living relationship with us, all of us. It seems really wild to that this is the last Sunday in August, and this is the first time in August I've gotten to preach. But I got to tell you, it was absolutely, and it has been absolutely wonderful. And I mention that because on that very first Sunday, when Michael Brent said, and I quote, about those who were converting from Islam to Christianity, and the thing that they kept saying to him time and time again was, in the Christian Bible, I read of a personal God. I can have a relationship with a personal God. As a Muslim, I had never heard that before. And people are literally making life-changing, in my mind, life-saving professions of faith. So the question right now is, how can we develop that intense, intimate relationship with God, with Jesus? And folks, I want us to talk about this in two different ways right now. Because number one, I want us to talk in terms of, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart and into your life? We may have person or persons in here who've never actually asked Jesus to come into your life. And if you're one of those, I want to offer you this chance right now. And in fact, I'm going to ask everybody just to close your eyes. And if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and you would like to ask Jesus to come in your life, then I ask that you simply pray silently, even as I pray out loud. Jesus, I want to be one of your disciples. I want to follow you. I invite you to come into my life. Jesus, forgive me of all of my sins. I've tried to do everything on my own, but today I have decided to trust my life to you. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for counting me as one of your own. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, the thing I'm going to ask you, if you prayed that prayer with me, I ask you to do something, and that is, tell me. I don't need to know it right this second, but tell me. And if you don't feel like, well, I don't want to go tell the preacher, tell somebody, because Christian life's not designed to be lived all by ourselves. Christian life is designed that we build one another up, that we encourage one another day by day. So if you can't tell me, tell somebody. Let somebody know so they can be there to help you along the way. Now, I told you I wanted to talk about it in two ways. The second, if you've already asked Jesus into your life, then you and I need to develop our relationship with Jesus. And I think we develop our relationship with Jesus exactly the same way we develop all other relationships in our lives. We do it by spending time together with that other person. And in this case, spending time with Jesus. And that means daily getting together to talk, getting together to share our lives, getting together to share the struggles that are part of what's going on. Spending time together. It also means that we listen. I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever developed a best friend because I talked all the time. We develop those friendships and those relationships because we take time to listen to what they have to say. That we take time to be influenced by what they have to say. And we allow them to influence our lives. And then third, we encourage them as we encourage Jesus to walk with us along the way and for us to walk with Him along the way. That this journey, it's going to take us a lot of different places. But the constant will always be that Jesus is right there with us. So as you and I, seek to live a life of faith, may we grow in our relationship with God. The God who desires to spend time with us, who wants to bless us along our way, who wants to walk with us and journey with us all along. I pray today that you and I know, we believe, and that makes all the difference in who we are, because day by day, we're developing and building that relationship. And so I ask that we, even now, stand, and I think the chorus is coming from We Believe, correct?